Welcome to the Small Business Branding Podcast. Join experts from around the world as they share their years of experience in sales, marketing, and personal branding. Learn how you can grow your business and become the leader in your marketplace. Brought to you by smallbusinessbranding.com.
Hello, this is Vera Raposo. I'm joined with the Ed Roach. Ed is the owner of thebrandingexperts.ca, and he is an author here at Small Business Branding. And I love chit-chatting with Ed. We often get together all over Skype just to brainstorm together and just really enjoy chatting with you, Ed. So thanks so much for being here today.
Well, same here, Vera. It's always a pleasure, you know that. And like you did say, we collaborate on a lot of items. And so to hear an interview with you today, I really look forward to it all morning. So
yeah. Wonderful. So, Ed, you know, I want to talk to you about branding. And what do you think are the biggest mistakes that you see people making with their branding efforts?
Well, you know, the biggest one I would say, and this is right across the board, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, it's the term rebranding. Nothing I like better than I'll hear somebody say, well, I'm going to rebrand the company. And I'll say, well, what do you have in mind? And they say, well, we're going to change the logo. I said, well, to me, that just makes me laugh because the logo, that's not going to do a darn thing. And it tells me right away that they don't understand what branding is.
Right. So Ed, what is the one thing people should remember about branding?
Well, that's a really good, it's just down to one. I guess to understand what branding is, if they can understand that their brand is essentially their reputation. So, you know, when I talk to people and they'll say, well, you know, Ed, we don't need branding right now. You know, we don't need it. It's not necessary. Maybe down the road we can do branding. And I said, well, you know, you're doing it right now, whether you like it or not. I mean, you have a brand. Even 20 years ago, they may have called it something else, but it's still branding. So brand is your reputation. So I would say that's the one thing that they should remember. And even if they do nothing else, but just be very, very conscious of the fact that everything they do in business from every touch point affects their brand and affects their ability to make more money. And I would say that would be the number one thing I would have them keep in mind.
I think that's really key what you say. You have a brand whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
and exactly. You know, just because you don't think you can sit down and figure out the whole branding thing or what am I going to do to brand my business, you have it. It's yeah. There, you know, so.
Yeah, like perception is reality in branding. So it'd be no different if you said, well, you know, Ed, people think I'm, you know, not as generous as I am. You know, the perception out there is that I'm not really philanthropic. I don't help the community. But I do. I just don't talk about it. Well, you know, perception, like I say, perception's reality in branding. If you want that to be known and you want your brand to reflect it, you're going to have to be more outright with that whole thing. So you're going to have to develop maybe a philanthropic division of your company so that, in other words, a PR division where you can brag about that a little more because you want to get that out there. You want your brand to, you know, benefit from that kind of thing. So that's what we always say is, you know, rebranding. I mean, it's such a misused term. And again, it's an irritant for me because it's tough when you see them out there and all they're doing is changing their logo and they change their website. Now they think they're all rebranded.
Right.
And if it boils down that they had a problem before, the analogy I use would be like a can of Pepsi Cola. Let's say you don't like the taste of Pepsi. So using that strategy, if you change the logo on the can, does that make the can of Pepsi any better tasting?
No. Right. Yeah.
So the Pepsi would have to change the formula first to a taste that you like, and then they would change the image in the logo, the brand image. That would be a rebranding.
Right, right.
From my definition.
See, here's the thing, too, is that when I took over, I purchased the site articlemojo.com, and I didn't, I mean, it didn't fit the theme of what I wanted to portray out there. So I purchased the business. I had the clients, and I thought, I'm going to rebrand it. So I changed it over to getcontentresults.com and got a new logo, a new website, same clients. So would you consider that a rebrand, or do you think that's just kind of changing it around?
Yeah, I wouldn't call that rebranding. That's just updating your brand image.
Right.
Where I would suggest you would also have to do to make that a true rebranding would be you'd have to restructure how you run the company.
So right.
You would have to look at that website that you bought, see what its deficiencies were,
Yes.
Correct those deficiencies and make it better. Then do the image upgrade to relaunch it. That, to my way of thinking, is a rebranding.
So you're really rebranding. You have to think from the inside out.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly it. Every touch point. So if you're a company out there, let's say you're a small business person and you have a little store, well, you, your employees, if you only have one or two, and all your customers are all touch points. Mm-hmm. So each of those people are affected by your brand in a different way. So you're going to want to analyze all of that. And if you want to rebrand, typically you're not rebranding because you're enjoying the idea. It's because there's a problem. So my suggestion to any company is fix the problem first. Then adjust the image, make sure it's up to par, make sure it's maybe, if it was designed in the 70s, maybe you want to update the culture of the design so it's more current. So again, it's every element, like you say, it's from the inside out. And then you can go to market with something more powerful. Because if you're just changing the way it looks, like I say, it's lipstick on a pig.
Absolutely, yeah. So before I ask you the next question, you know, I'm asking you this next question because I think it'll really help people to realize how they can go about their own branding. So how would you explain your brand at the Branding Experts, and then how would you explain it at Small Business Branding?
Well, that's good. The second one's going to be interesting because, again, it boils down to perception.
Yes.
And what I'd be curious to see is I'm going to give you my perception of your brand secondly, and then you can tell us if I'm accurate or not.
Absolutely.
At least from your perspective. Even though my interpretation will be what your brand is. So for myself, what I hope that my brand is essentially educating and, educating, I guess. I purposely, and I put a lot of effort into my brand to get out there into the public, whether it's online or locally, and provide free information constantly to people. That they can come to me and get some, you know, free advice, something that, no BS. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, especially in the branding world, where all they're trying to do is they will not give you a lick of information without charging you a nickel for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm thinking, okay, you know, I want good, solid customers. When I do coaching with people, I like them to know that they can trust me, that I'm not going to stick to the clock. If you buy 2 hours of time, that, you know, at 2 hours and 10 minutes, I'm going to charge them for another 10 minutes. That's not how I operate. Mm-hmm. When I get out there in networking or do public speaking or I'm online with my blog, I try to give information that I believe small businesses today can use today to their benefit. That's my goal. So that education, I believe, is part of my brand. The free advice is part of my brand. All of that. And that it's honest and forthright. Nothing contrived, nothing I'm trying to trick you into something. That's what I believe the Branding Experts brand is. Mm-hmm. That's what I try to make it be. And I get that all the time from people that they'll say that to me. I mean, I did an event locally not long ago, maybe a month ago, and I only really had about 3 minutes to say my thing. So instead of using it as a commercial, what I did was I used that 3 minutes to give them advice right away about how they can use the internet to better push their brands. And not 2 weeks after that, I ran into a gentleman who I didn't know. He just recognized me and he walked up to me and he goes, "Hey, you're that branding guy." Mm-hmm. That to me was very powerful.
Yes.
It showed that 3 minutes, because he said that he recognized me from that event. And it told me that 3 minutes I had and used to put that information out there resonated with him. And that just qualifies and regenerates, probably the wrong word.
Yeah.
It invigorated me a lot that I was on the right track, you know, that I'm doing it the right way, and people are very comfortable with me. Even when they call me to hire me, I love the fact that they refer to me as not Mr. Roach, but they refer to me as Ed.
Ed, yes.
that also tells me that I'm resonating with them, that they're feeling very comfortable with my message.
Well, you know, the cool thing is, and the reason why I introduced you as the Ed Roach
I thought that was funny.
Is because, you know, I have to say, Ed, Small Business Branding, it's my website. Just saying. I get people all the time emailing me, "Hey, Ed." I'm like, "Hold on, this is Vera." I own Small Business Branding. And so it's actually made me very aware that, you know what, I need to get my message across a little louder so that people recognize not only do I own Small Business Branding, and I get tons of email addressed to Vera. But it just kind of funny that I get that email for you as well. And, and so it, and I have nothing against that because I think it's, you do a great job, supplying us great information at Small Business Branding. So I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty cool anyhow.
I appreciate you saying that, Vera, because like I view Small Business Branding as a partner. I really enjoy writing for them. It fits my brand. I mean, again, I don't want to associate my name with any, what I would consider to be a loser.
For sure.
And I don't, and this sort of segues into what I think of the SBB brand. You guys aren't a loser. What I love about Small Business Branding is they have a really serious audience. Their audience is made up of small businesses, who, again, who are my market. You provide, like I do, a lot of free information. You're very willing to give first. You're not trying to sell me all kinds of stuff on Small Business Branding. You're very much a go-to place. You're a destination for anybody looking for information. And I find that a really good fit with the branding experts. I brag about writing on your blog constantly. I'm amused also by those emails as I'll get them saying, you know, I really like your blog. Would you, you know, could I advertise on it? And it's like, well, no, I'm sorry, you're talking to the wrong guy here.
Yes, yes.
And I'm amused by that myself, but I never ever take credit for your site and I never take ownership because it's not my blog.
Right.
But I always tell people very politely that, no, you want to contact Vera. She'll help you out and she'll make you happy because you're a very generous person. So, and I'm not trying to blow smoke. like I said, I think I'm pretty genuine in what I say. And I think people, when they go to your blog, they don't feel like they're being sold a bill of goods.
That's really great. I'm glad you say that because anyone listening who has a small business, I mean, we are in business to make money, and the fact that I make money from that site and you tell me, well, I'm not selling tons of stuff on there is great because it's showcasing that it's a more helpful place than, you know, I'm
that's
expecting
right.
a payment from you.
Well, that's right. And, you know, a lot of times you'll recommend things. So you're like the Oprah of the branding world. You know, you're
oh.
And that's, again, that's all I think our readers can appreciate, the fact that, you know, you're just not going to sell them anything. And like you
yeah.
say, we are all in business to make a living, to, you know, to scratch out a nickel or two for what we do. And, you know, that comes from this. I mean, I pick up leads from Small Business Branding and it develops into really nice relationships. But it all starts with your customers, your readers, Small Business Branding, because they appeal to what you do.
So yes, yeah.
And I know that because I can attribute a number of my clients originally came across me through Small Business Branding. And the fact that they're nice people tells me who your readers are. Because
mm-hmm.
I think what they say, 90% of your visitors are lurkers. They just read. They don't quote. They don't comment. And but the ones that do, it's interesting. It's I've gotten used to so many of them. Even if they answer as anonymous, they still have a tone about them. And I recognize a lot of the commenters as regulars.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So truly, what is the importance of a brand?
Well, the brand sets the tone for your business. So, like I said to you before, I always say the brand is your reputation. And if you're proud of your reputation and you're a leader, not a follower, all the things I talk about in my writing on your blog, people that are listening to this today, if they recognize my writing, a lot of what I say is lead, don't follow. And that's my slogan now. That's my everything about what I brand. If you're following, you're not doing yourself any service. You're not going to be able to raise your prices. You're not going to be able to stand out. You're certainly not going to be able to escape the commodity hell a lot of businesses are in, where lowest price is king.
Right.
Right. So that's what you want. That's the importance of having a brand. If your brand is strong, powerful, has a great image, people love it, they're willing to spend more for it. If you disappeared tomorrow, they'd miss you. A bad brand would be if you died tonight, your business died with you, nobody'd miss you. That's a pretty poor brand.
Yes.
But if somebody would say, you know, that branding guy, Ed, you know, he was a good cookie. You know, I would be so happy with that because that told me that my brand was powerful and they would miss me if I kicked off tonight. Well, God forbid. You know.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, yeah, exactly.
You know, you're bringing my thoughts back to when I had the retail store. When we had five locations, and the last one that we sold, it was the first one that we ever opened.
Wow.
And so I'm getting a little emotional about it today, because the day I closed down that store, I had tears just streaming down my face. I was so upset, and kids were hugging me, and people were chatting, and I was, you know, putting count. We were literally counting the last of the inventory, and it was just a really sad day. Although I was happy to close the business because and sell it off because, you know, I wanted to move on to the online world and do more in different ways.
But the reaction your customers had to your closing told you that you had a good brand.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
And your buyer would be really buoyant about that because it told him he bought a good brand.
Yeah. And, you know, and we were in that particular mall for, I don't know, about 13, 14 years and had the actual physical store for 12. And we did a little cart in the mall and that beforehand. And a competitor, a direct competitor in our space came into the mall when we were about year 8 or 9. And this person would literally, we'd put up a certain slot wall and put certain products on it, and he would do the same. I would walk past his store at night, and I would see the same stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's killing me, you know? But then I thought, what can I do to make, you know, not make people come over to my store. I mean, we've been in that mall for a lot longer, of course, but I knew that when those, because we catered to families and teenage boys, and I knew when those teenage boys came in, I was telling, hey, what'd you get on your report card? Hey, high five, right? I was making, just trying to develop relationships with them. And you know what? That relationship developed way before that competitor even stepped foot, you know?
Well, the simple fact that the competitor came to your store and copied everything you do shows that he's not a leader. He's a follower. And all he's doing really is eliminating customers in a sense. Because, again, if they go to your store, they go to his store, they recognize that you both offer the same thing. But over at Vera's store, there's a strong relationship there. There's something different going on. They're the first to do anything.
Yeah.
That's where the differentiation comes in. That's what separates you from the other guy. If he's just copying you, all he's doing is complimenting you.
Right.
It's so different in the burger world. I mean, you know, everybody copies McDonald's. It's the standout place that they open up something that McDonald's isn't offering. They offer something different. They make themselves stand out. That's where they start to grow, and that's where they start to become their own brand unto themselves. But if you're just a follower of McDonald's, you're not going to go anywhere at all.
You know, absolutely, yeah.
Same with your store. So your competitor wasn't doing himself any favors, but he thought he was being pretty clever. But
yeah.
It's so easy to copy.
And you know what's so funny today, Ed, is that we got a call after we had closed down. We sold the location, and the guy who took it over has now closed down. And we have gotten calls from the mall saying, so when are you coming back?
That's right.
And we're like, sorry, you know, it's just we've moved on to other things. But
yeah, and just for our listeners' sake, I mean, you can say, you know, Ed, 20 years ago, I mean, never heard of branding, you know, but really it was just called something else, you know. Mm-hmm. And good customer service goes back thousands of years. I mean, you treat somebody right, even your mall, I mean, they wanted you back because you were a good tenant, you were successful, people wanted you. You were somebody that drew business to that mall.
Do you know what they said?
What's
these
that?
Kids are driving me nuts, phoning customer service every day. When are you coming back?
Yeah. So there you go. And there's a good testament right there to a good brand. That's what branding's all about.
Right.
I mean, even if you never hire somebody like me for anything, if all you do is spend all your time making your customer service better, making making your product better, adding more value, adding more good to everything, going into the community, volunteering for things, getting your name out there, all of those things contribute to your brand. And that's what it's all about. Go ahead.
So why do you think people have a hard time getting the fact that they have a brand and that they need to brand?
Well, I think it boils down to the character of the people, really. One of the articles I wrote for Small Business Branding called Are You a Doer or a Planner? I think it boils down to the character of the person. The doers are the ones that actually go out there. They see a need. They see something that has to be improved in their business. They look for the information to accomplish that, and they hire the people that they have to help accomplish it. So those are doers. You're a doer, Vera. For sure. But then there's the planners. These are the people who love to take courses. They love to hire, again, us out to get things. And they'll buy books. They'll do all kinds of stuff, but they don't take that final step. They don't go out on that limb. They don't take that risk. But they love to brag to people that they're, oh, yeah, I'm taking a course and I'm going to really improve my business. But when it comes right down to it, they don't do a darn thing. They pull back. They say things like, oh, it's not right yet. They'll give you 10, 15 reasons why they can't do a thing.
Right.
They won't give you one good reason why they should do it. Those are planners. So those people irritate the hell out of me because when I help people, I want somebody who's going to take it further and they're going to, you know, push their business to the next level. The worst thing is even they start saying things like, you know, well, I can't do it right now because the economy sucks. You know, well, you know, how are you going to know when the economy is turning around? Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Think about tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to miss out on a huge opportunity and your competition. If you're going to drop the ball, your competition is going to pick it up and run with it. Then what are you going to do? It's too late then.
Well, you know, it's the same thing too. If people keep telling you the economy's going down. Well, you know, hello, you don't have to accept that. You don't have to sit there and go, oh, the economy is so bad. I'm going to do so poorly, blah, blah. So what's the use?
That's right. It's a self-serving philosophy, you know, or prophecy. It's if you think it's going to be bad, yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, for sure. if you don't think you can do something, you won't do it either.
No, you won't do it because, again, you're talking yourself out of it. And those are the wrong people. Now, they all have brands, and that brand is reflected in that poor attitude. But your customers see that, too.
And so do
your suppliers. So do everybody. So, if you feel you're going to lose, yeah, it's true. You will lose.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. You will be 100% right.
Well, Ed, you know, I'm just so glad you came on the call with me today. Do you have any last thoughts on anything we've discussed here today?
No, not particularly, other than, I'm just like to do a little commercial here, I guess. I know that everybody out there, we constantly are trying to push our companies, our brands, so to speak. And, you know, we're always looking to promote ourselves. And one of the biggest problems with that is building a list. Because it'll even be online trying to learn how to sell things online. And it always boils down to a list of, let's say, 5,000 names. And I have the same problem. I'm like everybody else. I build my marketing niche. And I came up with a product called Cha-Ching that I'm working on right now, and it's for small businesses to help really, really boost their lists, their opt-in lists, in about a week. And I'll be releasing more information on that as the next month or so goes on. But I just wanted to let everybody know that if they keep an eye out for Cha-Ching, because it's going to talk about how they can build their lists, hopefully by thousands of names within a week, as opposed to waiting several years to build the same numbers.
Right.
And I'm hoping to put this out there at a very reasonable cost. And when I say reasonable, it's not a joke. I'm trying to do this as cheap as I can to get it off the ground, because if we all participate as a co-op together to make this thing happen, we'll all benefit. And so, you know, that's where I'll get my payoff is building my list. And so anyway, watch out for Cha-Ching in the next month or two, and let me know what you think. And if you can jump on board with us, all the better.
I think it's really important, too, to mention that it's great to have tons of subscribers, but I would love to see some sort of, have you touch on how to develop a really great relationship with those subscribers so that you're not just, you know, loading up your list and then not actually developing a relationship so that you can make sales with them in the future.
Well, that's true. And that would be the same as abusing your list. Like you get people to sign up for the free ebook, but after that, all you do from that point on is sell to them.
Right.
And that's just going to turn them off. And I mean, well, thank God for the unsubscribe button there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I come across that crap myself. And I'll sign up for somebody's newsletter only to be hit with daily sales. Buy this book, buy that, buy.
Right.
You know, I want a nice relationship where I'm going to get some good information here. And I recognize that I'm going to be sold to. I have no problem with that. But, you know, I don't want to hear it every day.
Do you know what? I even took a very drastic step with my autoresponder.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
What's that?
Is I deleted all my messages. And if you sign up to my autoresponder today, you're only going to get two messages. And I figure I want it to be real, and I want it to feel like this is the moment, and then I can slowly develop the autoresponder, because I was just giving lots of great content, but I want it to be more targeted so that people are taking action on what I'm talking about, you know?
And that's all building your brand, guys. I mean, that's what it's all about. You dance with the market. Vera's starting to see something there in her response to things that has to change. And that's what you do. And that's how you build a better brand, is you're constantly changing, constantly updating the culture, constantly making your company better, adding more value. If you've got an audience, like we all have an audience, especially when you blog, and I recommend everybody out there, that if they're not blogging, get into blogging. It's a big deal. Ignore the media. It's a great thing. You're building your brand. You're building your expert profile. It will guarantee get you business. And I don't say the word guarantee too often, but it does. It's without a doubt. Everybody I've convinced to open a blog, I mean, it takes time. It takes effort. But eventually, they pick up PR. They pick up leads. They become very, very confident in their brands.
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Ed. I really appreciate you just, you know, sharing with our listeners and our readers here at Small Business Branding, and looking forward to more great content from you.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot for the audience too, Vera. I really appreciate the opportunity. And everybody out there listening, get on Vera's blog, and we want to hear some comments. We want to see some comments out there. So,
awesome.
Yeah, we spent all this time writing these articles. We would like to hear your feedback.
Great. You have a great day, Ed.
You too, Vera. Thank you. Have a good day.
SmallBusinessBranding.com is the comprehensive learning center for small business owners who want to become the leaders in their marketplace. Now you don't have to be tied to your computer to learn from the experts. Subscribe to the Small Business Branding Podcast and take the expert advice with you on your iPod. Subscribe today at smallbusinessbranding.com and start developing your brand tomorrow.